JC Corcoran Podcast.
What are y'all doing in here?
We're smoking reefer, and you don't want no part of this.
Hey, shit.
You're smoking reefers?
Yeah, of course we are. Can't you smell it?
No, Sam, I can't.
Come on, Dewey. Join the party.
No, Dewey. You don't want this. Get out of here.
You know what? I don't want no hangover. I can't get no hangover.
It doesn't give you a hangover.
I'll get addicted to it or something?
It's not habit forming.
I don't know. I don't want to overdose on it.
You can't OD on it.
It's not going to make me want to have sex, is it?
It makes sex even better.
Sounds kind of expensive.
It's the cheapest drug there is.
Hmm.
You don't want it.
I think I kind of want it.
Okay, but just this once. Come on in.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Wednesday, April 20th, 2022, 211 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. How you doing, kids? You got JC here at jcontheline.com, and yes, it is 420, and we'll have a lot to say about that as we progress here this morning. If you care about this, the holiday for weed lovers, well, you know, even if you don't partake, you can still take advantage of food deals because there's a lot there's a lot of people trying to get in on the act here on 420. For example, Wingstop has a new Blazed and Glazed flavor. TGA Fridays also went with the name Blazed and Glazed for their new Chicken Fingers Sliders meal. Fatburger selling an original Fatburger for $4.20. Del Taco selling 5 chicken cheddar rollers for the same price. Jack in the Box has a new Pineapple Express milkshake through the end of April, and you can get it at a slight discount of $4.20 today. It's usually about $5. Seth Rogen, by the way, pissed about this, says he has nothing to do with it. Jimmy John's running a promo called How High Are You? And the discount you get depends on your elevation. If you go to the website, gethighwithjimmyjohns.com, gethighwithjimmyjohns.com, it'll tell you whether you're not so high, kind of high, or highest. And based on your elevation, you can get up to 20% off. They're also handing out free sandwiches to people in Leadville, Colorado, because it's the highest city in America at 10,151 feet. The number 420 became associated with pot in 1971 when a group of stoners at San Rafael High School in California would meet at 420 to smoke. They also said 420 was their code, and it started spreading from there. I've heard a half a dozen different explanations of that. I heard once that there was a clock, sort of a famous public clock that was on the streets of Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco in the late 60s, and the clock was broken at 4:20, and that it was that was the inspiration for the entire thing. As long as we're talking about this, we probably should bring in the boys. It was a couple of years ago, and the product spokesman for Giggleweed, Cheech and Chong, joined us on the show. How you doing, boys?
We're groovy.
Yeah, JC.
You know, Tommy, I got to tell you something. You got one of those voices that if you had not chosen to go into comedy and the stuff that you're doing, you could have been like, what's that guy's, Ted Williams, the guy they found on the roadway, the side of the road in Columbus, Ohio? Ted, you just Williams. You got a set of pipes. You could have done this job. You could have been on the radio.
Well, that's because I never did cocaine when I was growing up.
You just waited till you were an adult.
Yeah. Oh, I never did cocaine.
Well, you guys were ahead of your time, Cheech. I mean, you look around now, state by state, one after another, everybody's selling pot.
You know, Tommy said a long time ago, what if we're right?
What if we're right, yeah.
And how does that feel now?
It feels great.
Vindicated.
I just came from my pot doctor yesterday, and It's going legal. We're working on a strain, a Tommy Chong strain.
All right, so people want to know, with you guys being back together now and doing the movie, and we'll talk about that in a minute, Cheech and Chong's animated movie, during the estrangement, were you guys in touch, not in touch? Were you mad at each other, not mad at each other? What was the cause of the split? All that sort of dirty, sort of Lindsay Lohan type stuff. what happened, and were you in touch? And just pick up the story there.
I told everybody that Cheech was gay. And so then it backfired. Everybody thought that I was jealous because he was with another man.
And that other man was Don Johnson.
No, never. Don Johnson.
For a little while, anyway.
Yeah.
No, we. I call my email is Tom Cheech, so I always kept the Cheech and Chong persona. I always kept it with me.
We would contact each other every once in a while and try to do something and then not, and then go back and then contact each other again.
Yeah. Then I went to jail, and that sort of brought us together.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. I lived in Missouri for 29 years, so I know of John Ashcroft, the former governor, the former senator, and the former attorney general.
And
people, you know, I think know the score on this. This was a setup. This was entrapment.
Yeah.
And, Tommy, if you could come face-to-face with John Ashcroft today, what would you say to him?
I'd punch him.
Where does that line form?
I wouldn't say anything. I'd just punch him.
Just cold cut.
And then
him.
He'd go, "What'd you do that for?" And I'd say, "I don't know."
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
I'm sorry.
You got
I'm
any
sorry,
good John. Guesses? Yeah.
See, you know, hey, John, you know, here, light up, man. Come on. See?
I mean, what do you say to a guy that drapes the statues in Washington because they're half nude or something?
Well, cement, you just turn them on.
Yeah. I mean, what do you say to the guy? This is 2013.
Turns me on.
Well, I've often said that if anybody on the planet needed to smoke a joint, there's nobody I can think of more than John Ashcroft.
And Mary Beth Buchanan, you know, the prosecutor.
What is she doing now? Did she finally make
votes? Mary Beth Buchanan ran for, there was a Republican seat that was open, and so she was running for governor or something. Uh-huh. Congress. Uh-huh. And the Democratic Party of Pittsburgh called me and flew me in to campaign against Mary Beth Buchanan. And she lost by a landslide.
Oh, baby.
Go. And she said, my only regret is that I didn't get Tommy Chong more time in jail.
Yeah. Wow. Payback. Still going on.
Payback is so sweet.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the movie. Cheech and Chong's animated movie. I understand this correctly, this is a lot of your classic bits that people remember primarily from the 70s, or as the case may be, don't remember from the 70s, as the case may be. And it's some of your classic stuff. Dave's Not Here, that business, and that's all in animated form now.
Yeah.
And
Sister Mary Oliphant.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Sergeant's today.
Do we get any basketball Jones?
Yeah,
I got a basketball Jones. That's my claim to fame. I can do that.
That's very good.
That's great, man. Right on key. Yeah, the animated movie is it's got healing powers.
Yeah,
the people have gone to it kind of sick and come out well.
Yeah, they can walk again.
They can walk again. Yeah. And some of them can see again.
Yeah.
They restored their sight. You know, it's really a pretty amazing feat of cinema magic.
What's different and what's the same about this collaboration? I mean, you're talking about an awful lot of time has passed, and now you're back together. You guys are in a studio laying down the voice tracks for these things. Did the timing come back immediately?
It never left. And when we got back together, we got on stage and had been like we had been away for 20 seconds.
I mean, it was really, weird.
It was just like, oh,
it was
God.
Weird. I kept looking over it. It was like a time machine, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're sitting next to each other for the first time in, 30 some odd years.
Yeah.
And I looked over, and it was like he had never left.
Yeah. 30 some odd years, most of them odd. All right.
Yeah.
Guys, we got to let you go. Cheech and Chong's animated movie. We'll give them the poop on where they can see it and how and all that stuff. Guys, thanks very much. Continued success. Great to talk to you again.
Thanks,
you too.
Jason.
Take care.
Yeah,
is everybody just follow the bouncing ball and sing along. How about one more thing before we move on to non-pot related stories here on 420? A couple of years back, I had Kenny Loggins on the air. And you ask him all the questions about Footloose, and you ask him about Jim Messina and all that sort of stuff. But he was awfully cooperative that day. I'd had him on the air a couple of other times, including once in person. We were broadcasting from the lobby of the Cardinals Hotel in San Francisco back in 1987. And we heard that Kenny Loggins was in town for a concert, I think it was the next night. And we called up the record company and said, we explained the situation. You know, we're here with the Cardinals and blah, blah, blah. And Kenny Loggins just drives down. He walks into the lobby. Hi, guys. How you doing? He just sits down. And then he proceeded, by the way, to try to pick up the girlfriend of the guy I was on the air with. That was interesting. But anyhow, like I said, back during this interview we did a couple of years ago, you know, you get a sense for whether or not somebody's in a good mood. He seemed to be in a very cooperative mood. So I figured, hey, why not? I saw an opening. Let's go for it.
I bring all this up because back around 1972, you and Jim Messina's album cover was a shot of the two of you, and clearly you guys were stoned out of your mind, and everybody loved it because on one hand it was shocking, but it also was a little bit on the subtle side all at the same time. Can you talk a little bit about how you thought about the best ways to market yourself as a musician and how that played into your success?
Well, you know, we weren't that savvy to marketing back then, the way they are now. I mean, I get a sense when I watch Miley Cyrus that the whole thing was incredibly manipulated, and it has actually worked. It's reinvented her career. It just keeps opening the door to more and more, you know, outrageous stuff, which we seem to eat up as a public. Back in those days, we didn't think that much about it. I mean, the fact that we were sitting around playing cards was what we were doing, you know. But we were hanging out waiting for the photo session to start, and they lit it all around us. And so that became the album cover. You know, I wanted to recreate it when we did our reunion tour in 09, to recreate that album cover and then get Patron to sponsor the tour, and the bottles on the table would be Patron. Unfortunately, that didn't work out, but it would have been fun to do.
Great idea, though.
See, that wasn't your imagination. Or maybe you were so stoned you thought it was your imagination running away with you, but you were right all along. So there. All right, I got to bring this up, and it's a downer. I hate to do it, but you know, sometimes you just got to do it. It has been inspirational, and I would even go so far as to say sort of fun in a really sort of perverted, distorted way, to watch the way the Ukraine people are fighting Russia. And, you know, Zelensky just is, I mean, this guy has got to be on the cover of every magazine, and they're going to do books about him and all sorts of stuff. Maybe. The question is, will he be around to see any of these developments? Because I watch a lot of news, from a lot of different places. And it just hit me like a gong yesterday that, you know what? This is about over. It's been inspirational. It's been almost, it's been borderline entertaining, you know, watching David beat Goliath. But I fear that this is it. There are developments that if you're paying any sort of attention at all, you can see where this is going. And Putin is a monster, no question about it. He has put back into command of the war operation for Russia this guy, the Butcher of Syria. You can see from a military standpoint what Russia is doing here. Ukraine is fighting back with everything they got. It ain't going to be enough. I am fearful, and I have no way to prove this, just based on, you know, anecdotal evidence, based on the amount of news that I sort of absorb every day and for the last, what, 7 or 8 weeks now. I've been watching this, but I'm fearful that 7 or 8 weeks we've just experienced won't end up being much more than a footnote when the story of this conflict is written, you know, 50 years from now. I think we're going to be entering into a very, very sad, ugly period here where the loss of life, which we have been watching on an ongoing basis for the last 2 months, is going to look like child's play compared to what's coming here in the next few weeks. I hope I'm wrong. I don't think I am. And I'm going to say something else, and I say it not to upset you. I say it because I'm afraid that I believe it, and that is, I'm not even sure Zelensky is going to make it. So, like I said, hope I'm wrong, but to me, you know, just from where I sit, watching, taking in all this stuff, I am not looking forward to what's going to be happening here in the next few weeks. This is why we have sports. This is why we have television, especially reality TV, just mindless stuff that you can sit down, put your face in front of it, and just watch and laugh your troubles away. We all remember the famous story from back in the 1970s where Van Halen wanted the bowl of M&Ms with one of the brown M&Ms taken out on each tour stop. That became legendary. There is speculation that the band was not necessarily just being capricious, but they were suspicious that some of the concert promoters back then, and again, it was not nearly as sophisticated as concert promotion is now. Now it's very corporate. It's a machine. But if you watch the movie Almost Famous, which has been running this week on cable, and I watched quite a bit of it again last night. I put a thing up on Facebook over the weekend because I caught about the last hour, and I was talking about what a great movie it was and some of the things I liked best. And then it was on last night, and it was like, I got stuck watching it again. It's just such a fun movie to watch. But back in the 70s, when Van Halen sort of first made the scene, they were suspicious that the promoters were not reading the contract riders. And when you do a concert, you know, when you go out on tour, you have a big, fat, thick contract that says, you know, what time you got to be there and what time the sound check is and how much you're going to get paid and all the nuts and bolts. But then, stapled, if you will, to the contract is something called the contract rider. And that's all the fun stuff we always hear about people who want, you know, a certain kind of water or a certain kind of mustard or something like that. I read years ago the Joe Walsh contract writer, which is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And then we had the Mariah Carey contract writer. The thing was like 5 pages long. No wonder she's as big as a house now. Weird Al Yankovic requested one garish Hawaiian shirt at every appearance. Eventually, he stopped when he collected too many. Cher, she likes separate rooms from her wigs. Jennifer Lopez prefers an all-white dressing room to keep her mind and spirit at ease, so white candles, couches, tables, and flowers. Rihanna, she likes to have a plush animal print rug to walk barefoot on. Justin Timberlake, he has doorknobs sanitized every 2 hours. Beyonce, she has her dressing room set to 78 degrees and likes to have well-seasoned chicken. Selena Gomez, after her breakup with Justin Bieber in 2014, she had those on her team named Justin go by different names. About Jay-Z, during a 2009 tour, he requested 7 dressing rooms and high-quality peanut butter and jelly. Britney Spears, 2011 in London, she requested McDonald's cheeseburgers without the buns, 100 figs and prunes, toothpaste, fish and chips, and a framed photo of Princess Diana. And Metallica, during their 2004 tour, they requested bacon to be served with every meal. I am enjoying the heck out of this HBO series, Winning Time, The Rise of the Lakers Dynasty. And I don't even like basketball, and I especially am not a fan of the NBA, but this thing is fantastic. And we started the show with that Dewey Cox thing, along with Tim Meadows, formerly of Saturday Night Live, the Walk Hard movie. John C. Reilly is a hell of a good actor, much better actor than I ever would have imagined. And he is really, really showing off in this HBO series. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who is featured prominently in the series, is not a fan of the series. And he was there, but that's the thing about these biopics, or even, like I said, what they're doing here on HBO. That's why they should say it's not really a biopic. It's a movie inspired by what happened. Because when you're making a movie, you know, the requirements are different. Even before the movie is made, you got to produce a script that is going to be of interest to somebody who is the deal maker in Hollywood. And if they're reading the script and it's not exciting, they're not going to green light the project. And eventually when the movie is made, if, you know, it's not like, you know, a constant stream of things happening all the time and a lot of conflict and everything like that, well, then you don't really have a movie. Certainly not a movie that anybody's going to enjoy or sit through. So these things that are based on, like in this particular case, the Los Angeles Lakers back in the 70s and 80s, let's just say there's a lot of artistic license that goes on. We in our family, we have this, there's this movie called Bottle Shock. And whether you drink wine or not doesn't matter because it's a good movie. And it's about the explosion of the California wine industry back in the early 1970s. This movie flew under the radar quite a bit, and it's sort of become a little bit of a cult classic as people have figured it out. This was one of the very first movies where we saw actor Chris Pine. It was one of his very first films. Bill Pullman is in this, and he plays one of these sort of disillusioned San Francisco Bay Area lawyers who has all the money in the world and is just bored with his life, and so he decides to open up a winery in Northern California. And of course, you have all these sort of oddball hang-around characters, all these hippies back in the 1970s. You have a movie soundtrack from the Doobie Brothers, an actor who never gave a bad performance in his life, whether it was the Robin Hood stuff. Alan Rickman is just fantastic in this movie. There's an actress by the name of Rachel Taylor, who I don't think I've seen in anything since this movie was made. Very underrated actor Freddie Rodriguez is in this thing. Eliza Dushku is in it. Dennis Farina, the former Chicago cop who became an actor and was in the Get Shorty movies and stuff like that. Bradley Whitford, who went on to the West Wing. I mean, this was just a goldmine of actors who were sort of at the beginning of their careers in some cases, and in other cases just good actors who for whatever reason wanted to glom onto this whole thing. And Bill Pullman is just, he's just so great in everything anyhow. But I'm telling you, this performance by Alan Rickman, oh my God. So, you know, anyhow, the story is about, like I said, the explosion of the California wine business in the early 1970s. The winery really exists, Chateau Montelena, and we went to wine country about, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 years ago. And that was one of the first places we wanted to go see. And the first thing you come walking in, and pretty much the first thing they tell you is, if you're a fan of the movie, please understand about 5% of what's in that movie actually occurred. The rest of it was just, you know, all Hollywood. And you're like, oh, why'd you have to tell me that? You know, but in the interest of truth and advertising, pretty good wine, by the way, I should point out. A guy we've had on the show many, many times and was one of our most valued advertisers, Skip Weber from Weber Chevrolet, was unfamiliar with the movie and unfamiliar with the wine. Now you go to his holiday party every year and he's serving Chateau Montelena because he loved it too. And it ain't cheap. So I go to his party every year because he invites me and because I know I'm going to drink my fill of this wonderful, wonderful Chateau Montelena wine. All right, some trashy show business news here. British tabloid says Will Smith and Jada Pinkett have barely spoken since the Oscars. You know, they've been having problems anyhow. This probably didn't help. Netflix is going to roll out a cheaper ad-supported version in the next year or two. They recently lost 200,000 subscribers, which probably has a little something to do with it. Ben Affleck and Matt Damon are making a movie about Nike's efforts to land a partnership with Michael Jordan in the mid-1980s. Ben is going to play Nike co-founder Phil Knight. Matt will play salesman Sonny Vaccaro. And as for who's going to play Michael, well, he apparently won't even be seen. The series premiere of So Dumb It's Criminal is on Peacock tonight. Snoop Dogg hosts as comedians roast stupid criminals while watching clips and surveillance videos of their crime. Sort of like a crime version, a crime slash comedy version of Mystery Science 3000. There is a Freddie Mercury special tonight on the CW. I don't know what it's doing there. And if you like really gruesome stuff, the series premiere of Conversations with a Killer, the John Wayne Gacy tapes, that debuts on Netflix. Late night tonight, Jimmy Fallon's got Marlon Wayans and Natasha Lyonne, the little wild child. Nicolas Cage and Vanessa Bayer, formerly of Saturday Night Live, on with Kimmel. Alexander Skarsgård on with Stephen Colbert. James Corden has Pete Holmes and Seth Meyers has Kaley Cuoco. And formerly of The Daily Show, Asif Madvi, who I just think is one of the funniest people on earth. We have heard that this might be coming, and apparently it is. San Diego Padres will have a Motorola logo on their jerseys next year. Baseball fans are not happy. First of all, it breaks the tradition, and second of all, it's like, yeah, nothing better to bring in a younger audience for baseball than a Motorola logo. Why don't you bring RCA in, too, and have the dog listening to the Victrola? There's some good contemporary references, huh? All right, I know that there are people who think she's one of the most beautiful women in the world, but I think her head looks like a box, and that's Miranda Kerr. She's 39 today. Carmen Electra, who has been out to Mid-Missouri a couple of times to roll back her odometer, is 50 today. Crispin Glover, George McFly, 58. Don Mattingly, former Yankee star, not with the Marlins, 61. Clint Howard, Ron Howard's brother, who makes his way into every movie that Ron Howard makes. Jessica Lange, 73. Ryan O'Neill, 81. George Takei from Star Trek, pretty funny on the internet, 85. Fenway Park in Boston opened on this date 110 years ago in 1912. In 1992, the world lost the comedic genius of Benny Hill to a heart attack. He was 68. Columbine, the massacre happened on this date 23 years ago in 1999. And it was 14 years ago today, in 2008, that Danica Patrick became the first female to win an Indy car race when she won the Indy Japan 300. And I would sell my mother's ashes to the gypsies for an hour alone with Danica Patrick. Blues streak is over. You probably heard by now the Bruins beat them last night in overtime, 3-2. Albert Pujols putting on a show last night. He just popped one out beyond second base, behind the first baseman, behind the second baseman, in front of the right fielder, and legs it all the way to second, although did something really stupid, did not slide, and tried to do one of those pull-up stops, and that's how you get hurt. Why he didn't slide, I have no idea. And then later in the game, he scored from first on a triple. From first. And that's the thing that everybody says. He can't hit right-handed pitching and he can't run. Well, it's not like he set any speed records or anything on that first to home thing last night, but he made it. He was safe. The run counted, for heaven's sakes. And again, I'm still in the, maybe I'm going to have to change my mind. I don't know. But I'm still in the camp that says that this was a dumb idea. It's early. We're not even 2 weeks into the season. So, it's too early to be drawing any sort of conclusions about the wisdom of the move by John Mozeliak to bring Albert Pujols back to the Cardinals. I'm still saying when it comes out in the wash, 162 games, and you're sitting there in early October, I'm still not sure the numbers are going to be there. But I'll be happy if I'm wrong. Saw Steve Winwood at the pageant on this date back in 2005. In 2012, I knew that my days were numbered at KTRS radio because Martin Kilcoyne, the sports director at Fox 2, was doing a show at 590 The Fan, and he was let go there, I believe, for budgetary reasons. So suddenly now Kilcoyne was available, and I knew that the people who run the station wanted Martin Kilcoyne right from the beginning, and they didn't like me anyhow. So when Kilcoyne got released from 590 on this date back in 2012, I knew my days were numbered. And in fact, it only took about another week before they finally put a deal together behind my back, brought him in, took me out, and Martin's first segment as my replacement on KTRS, he explained the situation. And I like Martin, by the way. He explained the situation. And then said, okay, so now we got that out of the way. I'll be here every day at this time. So on our first day here today, let's talk about what you like about St. Louis. And I thought to myself, wow, there's some hard-hitting stuff. But that's what they want. That's what they want over there. They don't want their phone to ring. So don't say or do anything that's going to make my phone ring. I'm busy in here hanging up more holy cards. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. And on this date in 2004, sort of an odd situation, when a radio station hires you, they hire you because they think you're going to do well in the ratings. That's the whole point of this business, is to get people to listen. And so, paired with John the U-Man Hewlett, Lori Mack, and Jen Sparks, this was before Carl got there, in September of 2003, we took over the morning show at K-Hits 96, a radio station that no longer exists, by the way. But we took that over in the fall of 2003, and a couple of months later, on this date, 2004, we hit number one in the morning. We beat Bob and Tom. We beat everybody. We beat KMOX. This is in the adult 2554 demo, which is what everybody's going after. We were number one in the market. After only, I think it was, October, November, December, January, February, March. April. 8 months. And it only took 8 months. We were number one. And for about the next 6 months, the people at Casey didn't speak to me. It was almost like they were saying, well, we want you to do well. We don't want you to do that well. We don't want you to upset the mothership. And I'm thinking, too goddamn bad. I didn't want to become number one to upset anybody at the radio station, but they didn't really like the idea too much. I don't know. Maybe my going up and down the hallways of the radio station with the giant foam "We are number one" finger. maybe that was a little over the top. I don't know. And with that, we also remind you that today is Adolf Hitler's 133rd birthday, if he were alive. Oh, and by the way, somebody tell Marjorie Taylor Greene you can't lower the flags to half-mast at the Georgia State House today. Enjoy your 420. It's the holiday with the fewest traffic accidents because, you know, most of the traveling is done internally. We are here with the J.C. Corcoran Podcast every weekday morning, right a couple of minutes after 7 o'clock every day. You can email me at jc@jconline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. We only do politics around here when it's absolutely unavoidable. Don't forget, everything is archived, so if you miss a podcast, go back and pick it up. Other than that, we'll see you tomorrow morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.